We're in our series, Begin. If you've got your life point outline with you, we're talking about the six essentials for thriving in the Christian life. And this morning, while we are celebrating Senior Day, we're going to be also hitting another one of those essentials. And the essential is this: I love Jesus, but do I need the church? And more that is becoming, in the day that you and I are living in, that is becoming kind of a line in the sand question that a lot of people are wrestling with, particularly as we have come through this COVID experience of being shut up in our homes and away from everybody. People have gotten used to watching TV, watching church online, and all of us did that. And I'll tell you, I gave thanks to the Lord that we were able to do that. Would you say amen to that? That I was able to be up here and preach to 800 empty chairs and come into your home. That was a blessing. That was really good. But we're past that. Thank the good Lord. And so the question arises in our minds, what do we do? Is it okay to continue worshiping like that? And I raise a question because I get asked that. People wrestle with that. And people have said, guys who kind of prognosticate the future with the church have said there is very likely going to be a new normal where that more and more people will seek to worship God more privately, whether in their homes or whatever, rather than gathering together with the church. So I want to tackle that from a biblical perspective, but also because we have all these young people that are leaving home. They are leaving the regular gathering together here on the hill with us. And so what I want to get knocking around in their mind is, what does God want me to do? I'm excited. Each one of these kids talked about their favorite verse, what they have been taught when they've been coming up under Pastor Todd's leadership. Doesn't Pastor Todd do a great job? Would you agree with that? We are, I'm thankful for all the ones that are on staff with me and come alongside of me. There's no way that I could do ministry without all of them being here to help and support me. Pastor Todd does an excellent job, not only of leading our students, but also standing in for me here on the hill behind the pulpit and continuing to speak truth to you. And so even though he's poured a lot into these kids, I know that they're at a time in their lives when they leave home, when they go into a university or a college setting, they've got a personal decision they're going to have to make, and it is not always answered correctly. We already know that. Our kids are going to be, they're going to be wooed by the world. They're going to be away from mom and dad, maybe who were the primary ones who got them up on Sunday morning. You've got to get ready. We're going to worship, whatever. And I'm not saying that about our kids. I'm just saying a possibility is there. And so they've got a decision to make about corporate worship and church life, the life of a local church. Is it going to be a strong, steady part of their lives moving forward? And then also for you and I, for who are out of school, we're married, we're in jobs and everything. We've come through the COVID experience. Is it okay if I'm not in corporate worship? Is it all right? Can I do it just as well? If I am in the Word every day and I'm praying every day and I'm seeking to chase after the Lord, do I really need, is there anything in Scripture that supports and encourages me about the indelible need for me to gather together with the church? How does that impact my life? This past week, I came across a statement by Justin Bieber, and I know that is important to you on a lot of different levels, but he made a statement regarding his faith and being part of the local church. And this is a quote. He said, "A lot of people who are religious, I think, get lost. They go to church just to go to church. I'm not trying to disrespect them, but for me," now listen to what he's about to say, But for me, I focus more on praying and talking to him. And then he said, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do that. Now, you know, it is easy to feel so right on a subject like this when you don't know the word. It sounds right. It feels right. But it doesn't coincide with the word. And that's Bieber's error, not knowing the scripture. And so before I get too far into this, let's read the text this morning, all right? Because I'm going to be springboarding off of it. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 12. Peter writes, "And coming into him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." And so that first part there from verse 4 through verse 8 is about the need of the word, the power of the word, and not being disobedient to the word and what the word is telling us. All right. So verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Then he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So what we're talking about here this morning is, does the church really matter? And by church, I mean gathering together, the church assembled. Does that really matter for you and me in living a life for the Lord? And you'll find people all over the spectrum who call themselves God chasers. They are going after the Lord, who will say, "My relationship with Jesus is a personal matter. It's private. So I don't really need the church and the community that it provides, because my walk with the Lord is a private matter." And many people today, beloved, will say that. You'll hear people say that all the time. "My faith is a private matter." And they're saying that not because they're convinced by Scripture, because the Scripture doesn't back that up. But let me tell you why a lot of times people say that. They say that because, number one, so many people out there have been hurt by church leaders or church members. And that is a grief, is it not? Amen. But we are all human. And I can't always go to that. But I know I will hurt people at different times, either through ignorance or through just error on my part. I understand that. I get that. And I thank you so much for your forgiving spirit for me through the years. All of us need that. We're all prone to not doing what we should. But there are people who are hurting for that reason. They don't want to go because of what they went through, how they were hurt in the church. Then there are those who have been turned off by a church because they see the church as becoming too political. You know, every time that there comes a national election, I hold my breath. Not because I don't know where I stand as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because I have to always be on guard that I remember, and you should remember as well, our primary calling is not to be an American, it is to be a follower of Christ. And my chief concern is I have two things. I want people to vote the way I feel like they ought to vote. But the thing I'm going to answer to God for is, did you live life in such a way that you lost the ability to speak into their heart about the things of Christ because they were so turned off by how you handled your politics? Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
And because they see the church as being judgmental, that we came across judgmental rather than loving. Another reason a lot of people don't go to church is because they believe Christians are hypocrites to a lot of people, outside the church as well as in. And they see professing Christians say one thing on Sunday morning, and then they see them say and do and live a totally different way on Monday through Friday. Right?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. So here's a question. And I can't remember if this is in your notes or not. The question is the church vital to every believer's life or isn't it? Is it vital or isn't it? That's the question. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Just listen. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, who's saying that? God the Father's saying that. And you have to understand that passage in Genesis 1, 26 is an inter-Trinitarian conversation. In other words, it is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit having a conversation. And the Father says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Make him after our likeness. What in the world is God saying? Here's the truth in your outline. There has never been a time when God didn't exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a perfect relationship with one another. That being true, here's the insight. In your outline, to be created in the image of God as we are is to be created, to be made for community, for relationship. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What is God saying? God is saying, I made you in my image. What does that mean? It means you need others. You cannot survive alone. That's what I want our seniors to understand. University life will eat you up alive, just like living here in Lufkin or Angelina in the county eats each of us up when the church is not a center part of our life, right? We get out of town and we do things, we pray to God, don't get back to Lufkin. Not me. I mean. Do you understand?
Amen.
And why is that happening? It's happening because we have lost that connectedness. That's what I want to talk about. Not just with anyone, but primarily with those who name the name of Christ. I need to be not just in relationship. I need to be in relationship with people who are chasing Jesus. Why? Because if I'm not, I am going to stray and so will you. Now look back at our text. I know you're saying, well, finally. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. God says, but you are three things, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a people for his own, for God's own possession. Why? That you may proclaim, meaning display in your daily life by word and action, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the purpose of my life as a follower of Jesus Christ is wherever I go, I am to make God look good. I am to so live my life that I proclaim to people that I am around who the Lord Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and they are to be able to see in my life how Jesus has made a difference in me. And it is to be appealing. Now, Peter describes us in three different ways. He said, he describes the church as a chosen race. We are, first of all, as children of God, we are chosen. I am part of the Church of Jesus Christ, not because Alpha and Weston Green were. That's my mom and dad. That's not how I got into the church. I'm not in here because I'm a white male. It has nothing to do with my race. I am in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ because, first of all, God came after me. And he drew me to himself. And he cornered me in my dormitory room at the university. And he said, you've never been born again. And I've got a plan for your life. And that's why I'm in the family, is because God came after me. And the question for you is, do you know that description fits you? And if it fits you, if you're truly born again, what I'm saying to you is going to resonate with you. You're going to know this is right. Simply put, you and I were saved, listen, to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Him, to so live our lives that we remind people of Jesus and we make Jesus look attractive. Now that raises a question. And what here's that question. You got to ask yourself, listen, does my life, do I make Jesus look good wherever I go? Or is my life a distraction? Do I turn people away from the cause of Christ because of what comes out of my mouth, because of how they see? Are you and I living such a life? Do people ever ask the question, why do you get up on Sunday morning when you could sleep in? Why do you get up? Why do you get the kids up? Why do you go through all that misery when you could be resting after a hard week of work? Why do you do that? And you and I ought to be able to answer them, shouldn't we? I have to be here. I have to gather together, not only because it's the will of my Father, but I just need to gather with the church. I need to be around people who are chasing after the Lord. I need to have my light relit, you know, week in and week out. I need to be here. And he says, you are a chosen race. We are called by him. And he says, you are a royal priesthood. And that means, as a priest, what did a priest do? A priest had access to God. And in Jesus Christ, you and I are priests of the Lord. We have access to the Lord. He receives us. A priest could go into the presence of God. And that's who you are. You're someone who can go into the presence of God. So Peter's just giving us something to make us excited. And he said, not only that, he said, you remember, as a priest, your job is not to bring God to men. Your job is to bring men to God. That's my role. That is your role. That's the role of the seniors leaving here. It's what? Wherever they go, all these kids who have said that they belong to Christ, what does that mean? It means when they get to college, they cannot forget. They cannot forget who they are. Why? Because they are part of the priesthood of the Lord. They are the people who have access into the presence of God, and their job, their work under Christ is to bring people to Him. We bring people to God by how we live our life. And that's why he says you're also a holy nation. The thing that marks you and me, the thing that marks our kids who know Christ, is that we live holy lives. That doesn't mean perfect lives. It just means that the evidence is that we chase after the Lord. And I realize I cannot be pulled into the world. We cannot do that. Look what he says in verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Watch this. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Why do you need to do that? Because one of the most tragic things for our children or our grandkids, for you and me, is that we will lose the ability to speak into somebody's life about Jesus Christ. Why? Because of how they see us live. I cannot afford, as a priest to the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot afford to have my behavior sullied in the presence of Gentiles, those who don't know Him. When our kids go off to college, the thing I want them to remember is, you're not just here just to have a good time and to do everything. You are, first of all, called to the Lord. And it is so important. You don't let them pull you away from Him. Would you say amen to that? Why? You are a priest to the Lord. And the work of a priest is to bring people to God. And it is the work of a priest to realize you are holy unto the Lord. And that you cannot afford to so live your life that you lose the ability to speak into the life of a Gentile who's lost. You see, that's the thing, that you and I keep our reputation. And so you have to ask yourself, does my life, do I make Jesus look good? And look at the truth in your outline. If you're truly saved by Jesus Christ, we owe Christ a common allegiance. And what that means is, it means that the focus of my life isn't just to earn a living. The focus of our life isn't just to raise a family and go on vacation and know that I'm going to heaven when I die. It is rather that I realize on Sunday morning when we gather here, when we come here on the hill, do you understand, beloved, this is not an event. This is not an event. What do I mean? I mean that if you just see this, you know, I went to church this morning. Well, what happened? I went, I sat down, I sang some songs, I listened to Brother John preach. He preached a real good message. Really enjoyed that, got a lot out of that, and talked to a few people around, and then I went home. The danger is we make gathering here on Sunday morning nothing more than event. And we fail to realize that our calling as believers, we are called to minister to people. We are called to this, that this is not just an event. We are called week to week, day in and day out, to minister to each other. That's the power of the church. And we are to live out the one another's of Scripture. Let me share them with you. We are to be at peace with one another. We are to love one another. We are to care for one another. We encourage one another, support one another, give to one another, help one another, confess sins to one another. When's the last time you ever did that? Are you crazy? Confess my sins to somebody else? Yeah, that's what Scripture says. Confess your sins one to another. I can't do that. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. If you cannot share your sin, your weaknesses with somebody in this body, then church is an event. It's not what God meant it to be. Does that make sense? Are you with me? The problem is we are not connecting. And that's what church is about. This is to be a place where you and I are to do these one another things. This is what it is about and what it means. This is not just even on Sunday morning. When I go around and I'm shaking hands on Sunday morning, what am I doing? Not to everybody, but every now and then I will ask a personal question. Why? Because I want to know what's going on in their life. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what some of your struggles are. I want to know, how can I pray with you? Do you understand? And everybody in here, every one of us, we need that. You say, Brother John, well, that scares the bejeebers out of me. That's the problem. Because that's not how church is supposed to be. And that's the reason why people leave the church. Why? Because it is nothing more than an event. And church is never meant to be that. It is to be a time when we come together and we minister to one another. You confess sins to one another. Another one is you greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, just FYI for all the parents here, that is not a growth strategy for our student ministry. All right, we're not doing that. You know, we teach them, okay, that was, you know, biblically, that was back in those days. That's how they greeted with a holy kiss. And we're not saying, you know, we want the guys kissing the girls when they come or anything. We realize today it's more like, you know, a handshake, a pat on the back, how you doing, that kind of thing. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. So that's how Christians are to live their lives. And so let me go back to Bieber. The reality today is that many professing Christians and high school seniors buy into Bieberism. Bieber just said, you don't have to go to church. Why? Because in his mind, it's an event. It is not an event. It's not an event. It is a place where we minister. It is a place where the church comes together. He says, you don't have to gather with believers week to week. So here's the question. As a believer, is gathering with believers for weekly worship, is that optional? That's just an honest question. And in a time when there is more Bible teaching than you could ever consume available on radio, TV, and the internet, does it matter how or where you take in God's truth? What is wrong with web-based worship, week to week, month to month, just with you and your family in your PJs, sitting in front of the tube. What's wrong with that? Why can't virtual worship be our normal? What's wrong with private worship with your phone as you go about daily life? I am so glad you asked that question, because that's what this is all about this morning. I want us to rethink biblically where we may have wandered from biblical truth. Because here's what you understand. To love Jesus is to love His gathered church. And so that brings me to point number one. That was the introduction. Just seeing that you're awake. Number one, the necessity of relational connection, fellowship, to live for Christ. Over the last 30 years, now I was teasing you, I'm well over halfway done. For the past 30 years, there's been a strong emphasis in America on personal individuality, which is really strong as well in Texas, right? Because we're about, you know, we make our own way. So today, the mantra more than ever is, I gotta do what's best for me. I gotta do what's best for me. You see, and that can creep in and you don't even realize it. And you're just like, I take it, I do what is easiest for me. And here's the truth coming out of the thinking, the truth in your outline. We live today in a disconnected society. People live alienated lives that leave them vulnerable to satanic deception. That is so powerfully true for those of us who name the name of Christ. The Bible says that you can't live that way and thrive spiritually. In other words, listen, you can't thrive being separated from the body. Physically. Genesis 2:18. God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. The truth in your outline, you and I were made for biblical relationships, biblical connections. We all have what psychologists call a universal need to belong. We all have that. And if we don't get it, we get sick. We become spiritually sick. We lose our way. We become dulled in our life. Even the Lord Jesus sought out 12 to be in relationship with Him during His earthly ministry, right? Jesus did not live an alone life. He was with these 12 all the time. The truth in your outline, the Bible has a word to describe connecting with people at the deepest level, and it's called fellowship. So mom, dad, grandparent, wondering what to speak into the ears of your graduate, I want you to tell them this. You tell them, say, listen, you are going to be pulled to find a place to belong. There will be a desire in you to find a place to belong in life and as you go to the university. You're going to want to belong to something. And so I want you to remember two warnings from the Word of God. What are those warnings? Number one is 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character and good morals. And so the point is, I want you to remember every day you belong to Jesus. And that needs to guide the relationships that you let yourself get into, because there's going to be a big pull to be connected with people, right? Right? Yes, Pastor, you're right. Okay. Then the second thing is, understand this, you cannot live the Christian life in isolation. Our kids need to understand that. They cannot live. You cannot, when you go to university and you're gone for a month or 6 weeks at a time from home, you cannot survive as a believer if you are not regularly gathering together with the church. And they say, I've got too much to do. There's so many demands. Get used to it, sweetheart.
Right.
Huh?
Exactly. Yes.
All of a sudden, I'm just overwhelmed with bookwork. Oh, that's just getting you ready for what's coming. Until we throw dirt in your face, that's the way life's going to be. So don't be coming expecting tears from me when you say, my life's just so overloaded and I've got so much stuff to do. I've got all these tests and everything. You need to gather together with believers. Why? Because if you don't, Satan will have you for lunch. And you will wind up making friends with people who should not be your friends. They need to be your goal, that you win them to Jesus Christ, not that you chase with them. And our kids need to know that. If you don't find believers to do life with in college, if you don't find believers to do life with in community, listen, you will go down spiritually and you will wind up doing what you thought you'd never do.
Exactly right.
Huh? Yes. What students and you and I every day need in college and in life, we need fellowship with believers. And that doesn't mean just coming here. Doesn't mean just coming here. Here's the insight. We use the word fellowship in different ways. We use it, listen, to refer to hanging out with people. It isn't. As having a party. It isn't. As being with friends. It isn't. Listen, when you're out there in the mall after service and you're just kind of talking about things, that's not fellowship. That's visiting. But when you're out there in the mall and you say, listen, I need you to pray for me, because I'm having a hard time in this, or I'm having a difficulty in this, or whatever. You know what that is? That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Hanging out with people isn't fellowship. And the truth in your outline, biblical fellowship is soul-to-soul connection, knowing and being known. When we talk about life groups is not about you having another Bible class. It is part of that, yes, but it's not solely that. It is about having soul-to-soul communication. It is about hearing the Word of God, and it is about how are you making it in life? Why? Because that is our role. How do I not drift? I don't drift because of all the relationships I've got with people I can be honest with. How do you not drift in life? The only way you're not going to drift in life is you've got somebody in your life or several somebodies to whom you can be honest and you can trust them. You cannot live, we cannot afford to live in the dark. Why? Because we can't, if we do that, Satan will get to us. I have to have exposure. My life has to be exposed. Why? Because the flesh dwells in me. And that's what I need from the church. That's what you need from the church. What is it that keeps husbands and wives from divorcing? It is fellowship. We are not doing well. And we need somebody to pray for us. We need you guys praying for us. We argue all the time. When you stuff that, that is Satan's delight. What do you need? You need the church praying for you. Is this making sense? Huh? And that's what our kids need. One of the first things those seniors need when they get to university campus is they need to find the Christian campus there, the Christian work that they're going to be a part of. And they need to begin working to make friends who they can be real with. Why? Because they're going to get attacked from every side while they're on the university campus. They're going to be in front of professors who are not believers and who will seek to destroy their faith. And they're going to be around kids whose last thought is to follow after Jesus Christ, and somebody's going to latch onto them. Some guys want to be friends, or some girls going to be friends with them that doesn't know Jesus, and they've got to have their guard up or they're going to get pulled away. God says you need people in your life who know all about you and they accept and love you anyway. And here's the question. Do you need the local church daily, weekly in your life? That's a question. Do seniors going off to school, do they need to find a church? Yes. Yes, they do. They need to find a church. And most people professing to know God through Jesus Christ don't know this that I'm about to give. Here's the truth. Church was never meant to be a place to attend, but a group to be connected to. That's why people coming to church on Sunday, that doesn't mean anything if they're not connecting with people. That's why every Sunday, for those of you who may be guests here, we invite you to move in. We invite you to move in. Why? Because as long as you're out there alone, you're like raw meat before a real devil, who God says is like a lion roaring about seeking whom he may devour. Because this truth is so widely unknown, out of over 2,000 members here on the Hill, only 800 are connected spiritually with us. Only about 800 are doing life in groups and meeting together to study the Word. The other 12 to 1300 just come here from time to time on Sunday morning, listen to me or one of the pastors preach, and then they go home. Spiritual connectedness is so important. And so God says, what is it like? Well, it's like being a brick in a building. Let me just give this to you as quickly as I can. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, you believers are like a building that God owns. Jesus is the most important stone in the building, and the whole building is joined together in Christ. You're built into a place where God lives through the Spirit. Now out here, have you noticed the concrete that's been poured out here? Doesn't that look great? I love seeing that concrete. That's great. Well, soon iron and steel and nails and bolts and wires are going to be piled on that concrete slab that will eventually become a new parking lot for us. But right now, for in between time, we're going to be storing materials there going into the children's building. But here's the point. Those materials are not part of the building until they're connected together. And then they become part of the building. And that's the story of many people here on the hill and a huge number of students. Now listen, so many families and students attend, but they are not really a part of the family on the hill. Why? Because they're not connected. They're not connected. And church is an event. It's an event. And you won't survive if it's an event. Hundreds of people and students come every Sunday here on the hill. They sit and hear God's word. They sing songs. Then they go out and they talk to people in the mall or on the basketball court or in the student ministry building. And then they go home. And here's the truth. So many who come here are spectators, but not participators. They lack connection. And the question is, why did God choose a building as an illustration of what it means to be spiritually connected? Because in a building, all the connected parts support each other. Beams support other beams. Walls support other walls. The roof holds the walls together. The walls hold the roof up. The truth in your outline, one of the deepest needs in your life is support, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Our kids will have a hard time in college. Who is going to come alongside them and hold them up in tough times so that they don't wander? We all need support, and being in a local church is like, God says, it's like being a brick in a building, in a wall. And that brick in the building is supported by the other bricks, and then that brick also supports the others. So let me land the plane on this. As I said, today we're a church family of over 2,000. And there's no way here on the hill you're going to know everybody. Probably you over here, there are people over here, probably the majority of them, you can't even call their first name. That's where we are. You know, once you get above like 80 people, knowing everybody is historical. It's not present. But in a life group and in a D group, you can begin to make a list of people you call friends, people who know you on a first name basis. And here's the insight. It is in life groups and D groups that connection takes place. Do you remember the words of the theme song, Cheers? Oh, come on, I know you watched it, so. The theme song, Cheers, you remember that? Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. That's the description of the family of God. That's not a bar. Everybody in a bar doesn't want to know your name. They don't even care you're there. Just keep the whiskey coming. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to build relationships with anybody, right? This is a church, okay? People want to know other people. And when you get involved in a life group or a D group, everybody wants to know your name. That's what it's about. And there you're going to learn everyone has the same troubles that you do. They're struggling to get through life. And kids are going to find other kids who are struggling in the university. And they want to know somebody's going to be there and help them and pray with them. And it's somebody that will help them chase after the Lord. You can say all day long, I really love Jesus. But understand this. You cannot survive spiritually without the church. Without a church family, here or off at school, you will never finish the race that God has set for you. You will drop out of your walk with Christ. You will mess up royally. You will shame your Savior in this wicked world without a church family. You need that. All of us need that. So I want you right now, just bow your heads, maybe where you are listening this morning. Will you right now commit to seek a church family all the days of your life till the Lord comes? That's the invitation. That in your heart you would say, Father, I believe in your family here on earth. I believe in the importance of being connected to your family. And I want to recommit that by your grace, church will not be an event for me, but it will be a place where I connect and where I know others and where I'm known. Because I need people to live the life you've called me to live. I cannot live for Christ alone. So let me pray over you. Father, thank you this morning for the word. We pray for every service today, that God, your word will just speak strongly and mightily to all of our lives. Lord, I pray that you will help us to get through this time from this COVID disruption. But it's been a good teaching tool and a learning tool. It is a time for us to learn afresh. We need the church family. We need that. We will not survive. We will not do well. We will not ultimately live our lives for you, separated from the church. And that it's not an event. It is coming together and ministering one to another. It is knowing and being known. It is having brothers and sisters who will pray for us and hold us up, and to whom we can be accountable. And so thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your ministry in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.